large was moving through the lake, coming straight toward the raft, the water foaming white in its wake. Directly in front of him, the mutie from the swamp rose into view as smoothly as if it were riding an elevator. Excited, the creature waved its arms and gestured at the land, clicking so fast the noise was like a stick dragged across a picket fence.
Thanks again. Okay, move with a purpose, people. We've got to get to land if there's going to be trouble.
Ryan and JB put their backs into stroking, and the rest of the companions started paddling with their bare hands.
Maybe we should stay and help.
Too vulnerable out here. On land, we can offer them assistance. But out here, we're only a liability, making them protect two things.
The boy nodded in understanding and redoubled his efforts. With excruciating slowness, they gradually pulled away from the line of clicking beams when the raft violently shook as if it struck a rock. For a heartbeat, the companions thought that's all it was, just a rock. Then, the tiny craft heaved upward, going higher and higher, to finally flip over and spill them overboard. Desperately holding his breath, Ryan grabbed the sinking Stire before it got out of reach and started for the surface. Stroking with one arm, he got a brief glimpse of a dark shape moving among them at incredible speed. Whatever their attacker was, it wasn't one of their guardians or a rock. A submarine? Reaching the surface, Ryan caught his breath and saw that the raft was destroyed. The logs were smashed and floating away freely, the thick chains snapped apart, the precious supplies sinking to the depths below.
Gator!
Jack splashed around, a knife in his hand. Kicking to stay afloat, Ryan looked at the dry land so terribly far away.
Back to the swamp!
And Ryan started swimming in that direction. With every kick, every stroke, the man waited to feel the crushing bite of the alligator seizing a limb. But he reached the muddy banks alive and struggled into the knee-deep water. The others were only seconds behind, and the companions moved away from the invisible border and checked their weapons.
Everybody here?
Ryan worked the bolt on the Stire. JB was cleaning the droplets off his glasses.
Looks like. Dark night. Was that a gator? The bastard thing must have been over 30 feet long.
Seemed bigger.
Jack was shaking the excess moisture out of his colt python.
How did you chill it?
Mildred poured the water from her med kit to lessen its weight.
Didn't. Aced whole veil.
Oh, hell.
Doc scowled at his Lama, the fresh charge of black powder dribbling out.
Lost my sword stick, too. Can somebody loan me a blaster?
Stire in hand, Ryan tossed over the Sig Sauer. Doc made the catch and expertly dropped the clip to check the ammo, then slammed it back into the butt of the pistol and jacketed the slide to chamber a round. Doc might prefer an old-fashioned revolver, but he knew how to work a modern blaster perfectly well.
What's going to stop it?
Dean checked his pockets for spare clips. He found only two. The rest had gone to the bottom.
Grins will.
JB started passing out the military spheres from his munitions bag.
Don't get crazy. That's it for explosives. One each. The rest went down with the raft.
This is enough.
Christy began unwrapping the electrical tape from the handle. The ball was green with a black stripe, high explosive with steel shrapnel. Exactly what they needed. Too bad they had only these few charges. Out on the watery expanse, noises and splashing were coming from under the turbulent surface. Red blood spread outward from the aquatic combat, obscuring whatever was happening.
I don't think our friends are winning.
Then a large shape rose into view. A dozen spears were sticking out of its hoary hide, but the triumphant beast had a limp warrior dangling from its huge jaws. Tossing the body aside, the gator rolled over, showing its pale belly to the sky, then dived out of sight. Tucking the grin into a pants pocket, Christy furrowed her brow in thought.
An animal that size can't live in this swamp. There's not enough food. The mutie must have come from somewhere else to feed on these guys when it's hungry enough. It's probably the terror of their world.
Starving means dangerous.
Well, they tried to protect us, so we return the favor. Besides, if they lose, it'll come after us next. And without the raft, there's no way we'd last long enough in the water to ever reach land alive.
Here to follow dry land.
Any weak points?
Eyes, belly. Ears best, but they be hid.
Ah! In a rush of water, the bawling gator lifted into view again, with the chief clinging to its back by a bone knife, wildly stabbing at the beast with a spear.
Light it up!
And Ryan started firing. The companions aimed for the head, away from the chief, but their small caliber rounds bounced off the thick hide. Only the .357 Magnum slugs from Jack's Cold Python punched holes in the gator. Then the chief came free from the muted creature and went flying. Riding the Uzi into a tight group, JB sprayed half a clip of 9mm Parabellum rounds, hoping for a lucky strike. Undamaged, the beast was gone beneath the choppy waves.
By the three Kennedys!
Doc began the laborious process of cleaning and reloading the .44 Lamar. As a precaution against rain, he always kept a few charges of ball and powder inside plastic film containers. It wasn't much, but until he got fresh supplies of black powder, it was all he had for the hand cannon. Dean reloaded the Browning high power and splashed away from the fight.
I know what to do. Jack, come with me.
Snapping shut his Colt, the pale teenager stared at the running boy, puzzled, then smiled and took off after him.
Hurry!
Ryan removed the spent clip from the interior of the Steyr and dropped in a fresh one. There was some splashing nearby, and a score of the humanoids rose from the lake and shuffled onto the swamp. Some were bleeding from cuts, a few helped others walk, and none looked in fighting shape. The chief stood directing the others, and Ryan could now see the being wasn't a human mutie, but more like an insect. A beautiful rainbow chitin was exposed through the slashes, and small quivering antennae were visible under the helmet, which Ryan now thought of as a crown, as only the chief had one. The smooth tan hide covering the bug was actually clothes, laced tight and with pockets. Some sort of fish hide, and not the human skin it resembled from a distance.
It's camo, to hide their natural bright colors.
They look like water beetles, only without the wings.
Ryan went to the chief and pointed toward the lake, then lifted his hand. He raised a finger.
One? Okay, there's only one of the fuckers. If it was more, we'd be running. But we can show one gator.
How?
JB thumbed rounds into a spent clip. Christy snapped the cylinder of her weapon closed.
The mouth. We let it get closed, then blow it apart from the inside.
Holstering her ZKR, Mildred held out a hand.
Shotgun?
JB passed over the weapon. A beetle stuttered loudly and threw its spear into the lake as the gator charged from the water, the shaft jutting from its head. The beast shook off the spear and plowed through the beetles, snapping one in its powerful jaws and crushing the insect. The warriors jumped on it, stabbing wildly, but the spear points could do no more damage than the 9mm rounds of the blasters. Flipping on its back, the gator crushed a beetle and lashed its tail at another, removing the head.
Oh, son of a bitch!
Mildred fired the shotgun. The spray of buckshot hit the speckled hide, doing scant damage. Cursing furiously, the woman worked the pump and ejected the rest of the buckshot cartridges, then shoved in new ones from the loops on the strap. Pulling the pin, Christy threw the Gren, and it landed in the gator's open mouth. But the beast hawked the obstruction loose, and the sphere rolled into the lake and detonated. Startled, the beetles backed away from the blast, and the gator lashed out its tail randomly. Closing in for a kill, Mildred dived out of the way just in time, losing her grip on the scattergun. It vanished beneath the swampy brine. The range was too close to try a grin again, so the humans pounded the beast with their weapons, dodging out of the way when it came close. The chief led the beetles back to the fight and started launching the barbed points of their spears like crossbow bolts. But nothing seemed to do anything more than annoy or distract the 30-foot reptile. Taking a stance, Doc leveled the Lamar and pulled the trigger. The percussion cap gave a bang, but the charge didn't ignite. A misfire. For the first time ever, Ryan heard the old man use a word the scholar normally pretended didn't even exist. As if sensing a weak member in the pack, the gator charged at the gray-haired man, its stubby legs propelling it just as fast in the mud as in the water. Doc stood his ground and waited. Holding the blaster with both hands, he triggered the weapon at point-blank range. And the gator recoiled, hissing in pain as black blood flowed from a puckered wound in its torso. It tried circling Doc, and the man fired again, a miss. Then, a piece of the mutie's scalp was blown away, exposing its bare white skull.